Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. Appreciate your time. And today, it's all about the shaft. Yes, indeed, the shaft. Some people get the shaft. Some people are the shaft. You know, all about the shaft, Bird. It's got to be the shaft. It's all shaft these days, man.
That's right. That's right. And if you're not clear on what we're talking about, shafts, drive shafts, axle shafts, those things that make the world go round, or at least the tires go around, the stuff that makes us haul ass. And if you've been around a car for any length of time, you've probably had to deal with a drive shaft, whether it's a, you know, just a repair or maybe some serious upgrades, modifications, changes, you name it. So there's a lot of goodies, a lot of details that go into these shafts.
Yeah, man. I feel like we need theme music every time we say the word shaft. Like, bow, bow, bow.
That's right.
Bow, bow. you know, and it's funny because a lot of people, I think, when they're diagnosing problems, tend to look over the drive shaft, you know?
Well, it's out of sight, out of mind. It's just kind of down there. And it's one of those things that, you know, if you're lucky, you never have to really think about.
True.
It's just there. It might not even be there. You just magically got all this power, you know, under the hood, and magically you go through a transmission, you shift a few gears. You definitely know that's going on. And then next thing you know, your wheels are turning.
How does that happen? Strange, isn't it?
Yeah, a few connection points, a few A to B's connected together, right?
Right. There's a lot more components, parts, and, well, just a lot more force. Can you imagine? I mean, drive shaft has one of the hardest jobs in the industry. Like, think about everything it's going through.
Oh, every banging gear, every burnout, you know, every hard shift.
Well, every time you take off, you're applying a load. You're applying a load to it with, you know, some substantial torque to it. Regardless if you're hard on the throttle or not, you're still, man, put a lot of load to that. And every time you're, you know, especially when you're banging gears and sliding and hitting stuff, and God knows if you got a truck or you're doing any off-roading or anything like that, or you're hitting potholes, curbs, copings, you're doing any track time, you know, drive shafts take a beating, and we rarely think about them when we're trying to do, you know, just diagnosis. Just like, all right, what is that noise? You know? And that's normally the first indicator.
And I, my friend, am not friendly to drive shafts.
Yes.
I am in that pedal all the time.
Yeah.
Because the fun factor.
Right.
Yeah. So, again, you know, like, it's one of those things from a maintenance perspective, right? That, you know, maybe you've been around, you had to update, you know, your U-joints or whatever. Or maybe you've got, you know, you've got CVs. So you hear that clicking noise maybe on the front end when you're turning a steering wheel. So you got to replace your CV axles. You know, and a lot of the newer cars, right? They used to be all stick axles, but you got your Camaros, your Mustangs, right? All these with independent rears. So now you've got CV axles in the rear. So that's you know, maybe a change for some folks outside of the front wheel drive. And of course, we were always doing transmission swaps, that changes connections A to B, right? We're doing, you know, upgrades on transmissions. Maybe we're going from automatic to manual or the other way around. And we're definitely upgrading horsepower. And at some point, you put enough torque and enough horsepower in something, and you're going to snap these little twigs, right? So we need upgrades.
And the fact that, you know, a lot of these drive shafts now have two pieces and they have a carrier bearing to it or something like that that tends to, you know, shatter, break, you know, a grenade when you start getting up in power. or any type of articulation, you know, if you're off-road. So a lot of times it's just, hey, man, I know I'm upgrading the engine. I know I'm upgrading the transmission. I know I'm upgrading other parts, doing a power out or this, that, the other. And sometimes it's a little too little too late on the dry shaft. Oh, I probably should get rid of that whole carrier bearing unit and get one solid piece drive shaft, huh? After you spread it all over the interstate, you know, or a dig launch. It happens, man. Been there.
Yeah, it's an extra point of failure for sure. So yeah, man, you know, again, you can forget about that drive shaft, but once you're going to do any kind of mods, you definitely want to have that in top consideration. And we have got the hottest shop in the country for drive shafts, for axles, for diff swaps, all kinds of things along these lines. And you'd never guess their name. I mean, you'd never guess when we're talking about drive shafts, the name of this company.
Is it a shop that you can go get drive shafts at?
It is a shop you can get drive shafts at.
Shut the front door. What's it called?
They call it the Drive Shaft Shop.
You are kidding me, man. Brilliant.
Well, you know, you're not going to forget it. You're not going to forget it. And, you know, it's well named, and these guys rock. I mean, they have everything you need from, you know, the entry level to top game. I got my CV axles for my LS swap BMW, right? I smoked through my factory ones and a few miles, and these guys have upgraded CVs. I think if I remember right, the shafts were like 300M, which is like mega badass, you know, super hard steel, super high strength. And man, I can just lay burnouts all day long with those axles in the back of this thing.
That's
anything you need, they got you covered.
That's actually what the M stands for, is mega badass.
That's right.
That's right.
Mega badass. That's definitely right.
People didn't realize that, but give me that mega badass steel. That's what I need right there. What kind of steel you want? The mega badass? That's what Thor's hammer is made out of.
I want the MBA.
Yeah. All right. Well, how about let's take a break, man. We'll come back. We'll get Leon, the Drive Shaft Shop. This is all about the shafts, y'all. Theme music and all. We'll be back in just a minute on the Two Guys Garage Podcast. Kevin Bird. Yeah. And Willie B.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, it's the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. And our boy Lee joins us on the podcast today, fired up. Today, my friends, it's all about shaft. That's right, theme music and all. We have our boy Lee on. So, hey, I got to ask you, Kev, how'd you meet Lee? Just calling up, bothering him? You're one of those many people that call up and be like, hey, man, I got a problem. I need some help. Help.
Well, you got to have your boys out there that can hook you up with the right goods.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I just did my, my little LS swap BMW M3 a couple years back, my E30. And, you know, one of the things I needed was drive shafts. So, you know, after scouring the world for who makes the best stuff, these guys were it.
Right.
They've been on my radar ever since. And of course, every time there's a, you know, a PRI or some big event like that, you know, I got to swoop in and see what the latest. And Lee is always right there, lockstep, ready to kind of point out some of the cool goodies.
I got to ask you, man, you said you blew through those stock ones, those factory ones, about 2 or 3 miles. Explain the point of failure, the catastrophic failure. Did it take place on a road, on a launch, in a turn? What happened when you were like, all right, I'm definitely broke now?
Well, I got pretty lucky on this one. So I got the early warning, the kind of clicky, clicky sound.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like the CV's kind of got a little bit too much play, or I don't know, Lee can probably jump in with exactly what's going on inside there. But yeah, I started out with the whole, you know, maybe it's a new build. Maybe I might be touching something rotating because it's really tight in there. I put a larger drive shaft, you know, as well on the front end of this diff, and shim things up a little bit, and that didn't go away. And it was like feeling the axles, like, oh, yeah, that baby's gone.
Yeah, time to call Lee.
I didn't get the exciting pole vault.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping.
Whew. Yeah, a common thing.
Listen, Lee. Hey, Lee, how many times do you get the phone call where it's people that have waited just a little too long? They're like, oh, I got another ride or two in it. And they're like, yeah, it grenaded, man. Help.
Yeah, that's a pretty common phone call over here. Probably every day. So
what's some of the what's the best story you think you've kind of run across with drive shaft failure stories?
You know, there's a lot of them out there, and typically it's those guys that poured a whole lot of money into a build, you know, turbo, supercharger, whatever they did, you know, even built transmissions and everything, and completely neglected the fact that they didn't do anything to that drive shaft or those axles. And yeah, and typically it's first or second launch and grenade.
Well, Lee, they say racing is the constant search for the weakest link. They just, you know, they're just continued onto that search, you know. And it is true. And I hate when it's the drive shaft, man, because when they grenade, they typically go with a lot of other things as well. So it gets ugly quick.
Yeah, it can also be really dangerous, you know, and especially, you know, a lot of the older cars that people build, you know, I mean, 30-year-old steel drive shafts definitely aren't made, you know, for a lot more than a couple hundred horsepower that they were designed for. And then, you know, some people completely, you know, overlook that until it comes peeking up through the floor at them, you know.
Surprise.
No doubt. I mean, those things, you snap the wrong end of a drive shaft and that thing is flying around underneath your car. So one, you're banging up your car, not punching a hole through it. And, you know, they can potentially dig in the ground and pole vault you.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's pretty nasty. And I've heard some guys where the shaft is, you know, spinning over 1,000 RPMs under the car at 60, 70 miles an hour. And the next thing you know, it's whipped out and it's chasing them right out the window.
Yeah.
You know, like they almost reach out and grab that thing because it's just flying around.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. It's a big spinning heavy projectile made out of steel. So yeah, it definitely can cause a whole lot of havoc under a car and behind the car. And like you said, even that pole vault thing, you know, that's not something you see very often, but it's a very real, you know, risk that you take when you don't put enough time into considering what you need for a drive shaft for your build, you know?
Yeah, man.
Well, on that note, you know, starting from, you know, like you said, 30-year-old drive shafts.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we start walking ourselves up? Like what in the construction of drive shafts has gotten so much better? I know there's a lot of materials from, you know, steel, aluminum. You could go all the way to carbon fiber.
Yeah.
So give us that little bit of walk right there. What are our options and what capabilities or what benefits do you get?
Sure. Well, you know, we have certain guidelines that we follow just because of what we've been doing this for so long. You know, the company's been around about 40 years now. I've personally been with the company almost 16 years now. So there's a lot of time that's been put into this and a lot of experimenting, a lot of research, and we do a lot of destructive testing and things like that. And real world testing as far as knowing what works and what doesn't work for certain setups, you know?
Wait. I got two questions, man. I got two questions I just can't let go. You've
sure.
been with the company 16 years. What did you join it when you were 4? Bro, you look like you're 23. Secondly,
that's just because he's got hair and his hair's not as gray as mine either. So
yeah, right.
Well, thank you, Willie. I appreciate that. Thank you.
He's sharper than the two of us for sure.
Well, you said two words that I was like, wait a minute, I need more info on that. You said destructive testing.
Yes.
You care to explain or elaborate a little bit about what is destructive testing? Because that sounds like something I'd be really good at.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of times, you know, destructive testing is basically torque testing. We take stuff that we build and we put in a big machine and see what the yield is, you know, so we can get real, real torque numbers on the stuff that we use. You know, I'm sure you guys know, we supply lots of very high horsepower, very fast cars all over the world. And we want to make sure that when we put a rating on something, it's legit. We don't play around as far as, you know, the capabilities of our stuff. And we try to be as accurate and as honest as possible with the stuff that we make. So in order to do so, we have no problem building stuff and breaking it and seeing what those numbers are and then, you know, applying the rest of our background to it and making good products.
do you get a line of consistency when you have some alloy or some mega badass metal, right? And you're getting it to the point where it's going to yield. Do you find the consistency in that, or is it always off by a little bit, or is there really a infinite sort of like this finite line that you could ride, and then right then and there, boom, it'll give?
Well, we've been doing this a long time, so we've throughout the years we've experimented with different types of heat treats, different types of different grades of material, different as far as between aluminum and chromoly, different classifications as far as there's little tiny differences you can get from one spec of material to another, and we've gone through a lot of different stuff to try to come up with what we have now. And when we do destructive testing, when we do real world testing, we have a pretty good idea of what the limitations are for a certain thing that we made. But there's always other factors, yeah. Testing in a machine is good because it gives you a figure, it gives you a baseline, but what happens in a car under load, in a launch, when some of these cars and the weight and all these things
and
come
wheel
together.
Hop and all this stuff, yeah.
Right, right. There's shock factor and things like that you need to be prepared for. So you can't just go off of just testing in a lab or in a machine because it's not real world, So we're,
right.
Before we come out with something, a new line of product, we take a lot of time and we know a lot of people that we can count on that have fast cars, and we can put stuff in those cars and have them beat the hell out of them before we give to anybody else. And a lot of times, it's a combination of those things that gives you a good product.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah, man, you got to put all that together to get somebody something on the other end. So you got that full confidence, right? Because you guys can put it in a machine and you can twist it up all day. When we put it in our machine and we twist it up, it's a little bit of a different result, right? And we don't want to see the same kind of things that you guys see when you twist it up. We want to just keep going and going and going, right? We don't want the damage. We don't want the off-road experience. We don't want the thrill factor of a drive shaft chasing us down the street. Now, you talked about different chromolys and aluminums and whatnot. So back to that kind of question of if we're going to do some upgrades. You can upgrade the ends,
sure,
right? So your U-joints and whatnot. Now, as far as the tubes itself, do you guys offer several different diameters and wall thicknesses within a given material? And then as you step up into, aluminum and carbon fiber, is it purely a weight game at that point?
Okay. Well, let's start, I guess, with steel. Most of the general drive shafts that you'll find in cars are going to be made out of steel. Typically not a very thick wall. If we're talking about older cars, typically you'll see U-joints on either end and, they'll be in a standard type size. And when you upgrade power, things you need to consider are the size of that U-joint, because that's a strength limitation there. And then diameter of tube. Diameter wall thickness of tube has two things that you need to consider. It's not just strength, which strength is definitely a part of it. The other thing is something we always take into account, which is critical speed of a drive shaft. A lot of people don't necessarily understand what that means, but a certain length of tube with a certain wall thickness can only spin safely to a certain RPM before it becomes unstable. So whenever we spec out a new part or a custom part, we always take these numbers into account. So that's how we make a determination on, are we going to use this diameter or that diameter? Are we going to use steel, or are we going to be better off with aluminum? Are we going to be better off with carbon fiber? So it's not really a cut and dry thing. We try to give options, just to put something out there for you guys to kind of consider. Let's talk about the new Hellcats. We're well known in that whole market because of the drive shafts we make, especially because the stock drive shaft is a toothpick and will break pretty much with stock horsepower. So one of the first upgrades that gets done on those cars is a drive shaft. And because of how long they are, we make them out of aluminum or carbon fiber. Because we don't like making steel drive shafts that are that long, because they just weigh too much. But there's also other effects between steel, aluminum, and carbon, whereas, you know, just not to get too overly technical, but there's a big torsional difference in the characteristics of the material. So a steel drive shaft, if you could picture it, when you put load to it, you probably get about 5 degrees of torsional twist. You know, that's it absorbing that inertia. When you go to something like aluminum, which is a softer material, you get about 15 to 20 degrees of twist.
Wow. Whoa. 15 degrees of twist from end to end on a long drive shaft like that?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then when you go to carbon, you can get 30 to 35 degrees under load. So,
wow.
And the more torsional capability you have in the tube, the more it's going to smooth out that transition of power. It's gonna unload some of that shock from the rear end, from the rear axles. It's going to you know, help between shifts and things like that. That, you know, between it's a pretty dramatic difference. A lot of times, you know, we get a lot of commentary back from our customers and people that put our drive shafts in, and they get rid of the stock drive shafts that weigh however much they weigh. So you're going to something lighter. You're also going to something that's a lot more direct feeling and just makes a big difference on the drivability of the car, especially with something with high horsepower.
You almost would think that that would be opposite. Like you would want something that's really stiff with no flex. I mean, just generally speaking, as race car applications go, you know, you might think, okay, well, I need something with little torsional twist. You know, that way I could, you know, harness the power, I get it quicker, you know, I could get up on the tire, I could whatever. But as you explain it, and you kind of watch it through your mind how that would work and absorb, you know, have some damping capabilities, you start to understand why that's critical. It's a really good point. I imagine not a lot of people think about that.
Right.
Well, yeah, when you're thinking about steering, right, you don't want slop in your steering. Mm-hmm. When you think about brakes, you don't want a mushy brake pedal. But when you think about accelerating, right, you don't think about, I want some squish in there, some give in there, but it's more of these shocks and torsionals, right?
Right.
So you're kind of just softening those out. You're not necessarily, you know, let's say lagging on your power delivery, right? You're just taking out some of the shocks going back and forth.
Exactly. And then the other thing is the way that energy releases itself, you know, on a drive shaft that is steel, that doesn't have a lot of torsional capability, it's going to have more of an instantaneous kind of spring effect. So it a lot of times that will accentuate that shock transfer. So something like aluminum that twists more is going to gradually release, and something like carbon goes even further than that. And basically when it tries to regain its original position, it does it over a period of time. So that shock that it absorbed is gradually released back into the drivetrain, you know.
So you think that'll translate into a little better tire bite?
Yeah.
You're not breaking the tire loose.
Yes.
You're just taking a little bit of that shock out. You're winding the thing up a little bit. And as you get a little bit further down the track, it can unwind and put that energy back into your motion.
Bird, you know how you think about it? Anybody that's ever used a winch or a snatch rope compared to a chain when they're wheeling, right? You wouldn't jerk a chain and get 2 or 3 foot of lead and let all that, you know, shock come at that connecting point. A snatch rope has a little bit of give, and it's able to slowly pull you out and absorb it, you know, as you get unhooked or unstuck or, you know, coming out of the goopy mud, you know, it acts like a suction cup a lot of times. So that's a kind of a smart way to think about it, and the reason behind it is even better. You can definitely see how that would help. So I'll tell you what, man, time has flown by. We got to take a break now, but more with Lee, more with the Drive Shaft Shop. You guys are hopefully learning stuff today. It's Kevin Bird and Willie B. It's the Two Guys Garage Podcast. All right, it's the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird, I am Willie B, and today it's all about the drive shaft. A lot of, you know, just misconception probably about the drive shaft. A lot of people, you know, just think it's there and it's good and you don't really need to address it. But as we're finding out, there's a lot of ways you could make up power and, most importantly, eliminate, you know, things that blow you around. You know, we put so much money in our cars and so much just overall fidelity, time and investment, time away from, you know, your friends or your family or your kids, money, hard-earned money for most of us. So the last thing you want to do is load that son of a bitch up quicker or sooner than you need to. You want that money back. So one of the ways and one of the things we've learned from Lee already is some of the big boys like Pro Mod cars going to carbon fiber drive shafts. Would you have thought about that an hour ago? I don't think so. So, man, you're teaching. We're learning. What else, Lee? What is another thing that you guys are doing at the drive shaft shop that people might be surprised by?
Well, I got a good one. I got a good one along those lines, Lee. And you can jump in too. Like the whole one-piece versus two-piece shaft. Right.
Sure.
Now you were talking about, you know, these shafts aren't infinitely stiff. So we talk about the twist, but you get something long enough. And even though you think it's pretty darn strong, you spin it fast enough and it can start to pretty much whirl. Right. Like if you took a chain between two posts, you know, as a kid, you can kind of whirl that thing around. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you know, that thing will come apart. So I assume that kind of dominates a lot of the OEs when they decide to split a shaft in half. Right. Is
sure.
to get a two-piece with a carrier in the middle.
Sure.
But from a performance standpoint, right, and everything else, right, what's the trade-off back and forth between a one and a two-piece? Especially when you can put a few more than, you know, OEs are trying to make everything for a couple of pennies. You know, we're going to throw a few bucks at something so we can change materials and, you know, those kind of things.
Right. Well, you know, there's a couple ways to look at the two-piece shaft from the factory.
Garbage. That's one way to look at it. In the trash can, that's another way.
Yeah, if you're planning on having any kind of fun with it, yeah, that's pretty much where it needs to go. But you know, some of those factory two-piece drive shafts weigh, you know, 30, 40, 50 pounds. And there's a couple different reasons why they do it. First one, like you said, is critical speed, because that's something you have to take into account with the length of a drive shaft. They're not going, you know, to spend, like you said, they're trying to make something cost effective. So they're not going to spend the time and the resources to make a good one-piece drive shaft that's going to be safe enough for whatever they need to do as far as, you know, diameter and all these things. The other thing is it's a lot harder to get a one-piece shaft precise enough that it works well in a car. You know, a lot of times, a lot of these newer cars with the unibody and with the way that the subframes are designed, there's it's not like the old days, you know, where you had a leaf spring rear end and you had, you know, the rear wasn't connected to the car. Now it is. So there's a lot of harmonics and things that have to be taken into account. So these two-piece drive shafts aren't just for that reason. They're also because a carrier bearing and the dampening that they can put inside of them will reduce NVH through the car. So most of the time, those two-piece drive shafts are just designed to make the car as smooth and as quiet as possible and not at all designed for any kind of performance, you know. Hanger bearings, you know, as soon as you start launching a car, a two-piece shaft with a carrier bearing, you know, the carrier bearings start to flex. Eventually they wear out. They start, you know, jumping up and down. And then there's a whole bunch of weight there. But, you know, the main premise from my perspective is they want a car that, you know, that meets their, you know, sound quality and requirements and all those things over any other kind of performance that they would get out of a drive shaft. So, like you said, once you get into the type of stuff that we do, you have, you know, more resources. We're making things out of material that's a very high quality, and you know, we treat each one, you know, very carefully as far as the way that we, you know, check them, the way that we high speed balance them, and all these things that have to happen in order to get one of those drive shafts to work right. You know, I couldn't tell you how many times we've had people call us, try to order parts, and then they cobble together their own one piece drive shaft, and it just doesn't work because they don't have all the pieces of the puzzle to really get something like that, you know, to work properly.
Well, can you walk us through how is a big high power drive shaft, one piece shaft? How do you guys build it? How do you guys make it? What do you start with? And, you know, for one of these high horsepower cars, something, you know, 2000 horsepower, 3000 horsepower range that you're going to see out on the drag strip. Walk us through what you guys do to create that shaft that we're talking about.
Well, you know, we do a lot of, we you know, we're a full production shop. So we do a lot of, you know, production type drive shafts for Hellcats, for Mustangs, for things like that. A lot of those guys are easily over 1,000 horsepower, you know, very soon after they get them. So those types of drive shafts are a little bit different. You know, there's a lot of different drive shaft configuration out there. You know, a lot of these newer cars, they don't use, you know, slip yokes. They'll have CVs on the stock drive shafts, you know. So we've designed our own line of CVs that are made from better material, that are stronger, that are more precise inside, that give us, you know, the ability to make our own ends that we use to connect to a length of tube, and then, you know, to whatever is on the differential. And because, you know, and just kind of touching on something else, because we've made so many of these parts ourselves, you know, we're a full machine shop, you know, full CNC shop, you know, we make all of our own adapters and lots of little pieces that we make that aren't available anywhere else. So because of that, we've also been, we have a very strong custom department, because lots of people do lots of swaps these days. So, you know, we as far as speccing out a drive shaft, you know, we try to put, first we ask all the questions, you know, what's the transmission? What's the rear end? What are you planning on doing? You know, horsepower wise, are you, you know, is it a street car, or are you planning on doing Texas Mile and running 200 miles an hour? Like,
yes, on all of them. All of them, yes, across the board.
Right, right. So, so yeah, and that's how we determine what diameter tube we need to use, what options we have. You know, we try to give people different options as far as, you know, different price points, different performance aspects. But there's, you know, there's definitely no cookie cutter thing. You know, we've got our certain formulas that work really well, but there's not a one size fits all.
Nice, Kevin. You see how he's playing that close to the cuff, man? They got secrets, bro. They're doing things over there. They're like NASA drive shafts, man.
Yeah,
he's like, he gives all the answers, but not really the answers. Like, oh, all right. It's just proprietary, man. You can't know. We do, though. Yeah, man, it's good stuff. I like it.
Yeah, well, you know,
you should be on a TV station.
Thanks.
All right, so, you know, we talked pretty heavily on the drive shaft parts, but some of these cars now have, you know, axles in the rear, CVs. What can you tell us there? You know, as far as, you know, what are some of the things that dictate the performance of a CV? How much, you know, torque horsepower they can handle? Sure. You know, and then you got the axles at different diameters and different materials, et cetera, like that. So what are some of the things that people want to look for? Like, say you've got a Camaro or a Corvette, right? You're going to increase some serious power. You know, where's kind of the point on some of these, you know, typical cars, where you need to do some upgrades, and what would they be looking to shop for?
Sure. Well, yeah, we've been big in the modern muscle, ever since, I can remember. So, you know, we kind of got started with CV axles back in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s with a lot of the front wheel drive cars, because there wasn't really any modern muscle going on, and those guys were pushing those boundaries. So we really ramped up a lot of our technology back then as far as increasing spline sizes and trying out different materials and figuring things out, you know, because nobody had done it before. And then once these newer cars started coming out, all the new modern muscle stuff and all the high horsepower rear wheel drive stuff, we were able to use a lot of that same technology. As far as, you know, by then we were already, you know, using 300M on most of our axle bars. You know, we've designed our CVs in a certain way so we can increase the internal splines and make internal parts of CVs out of better materials. You know, go to bigger splines into the hub if necessary, make custom hubs, you know, but if, you know, if we're talking about Camaros, Corvettes, the new Mustangs, the Hellcats, you know, these are all, a lot of it is very, similar in the way that we've designed it, just because, you know, we try to keep a pretty, standardized format as far as material that we use, and that technology crosses all those platforms. So as far as what you're looking for, it really depends on what you're planning on doing with the car, you know, because a 600 horsepower street car is not going to have the same requirements as a 1200 horsepower drag car, you know? So it's important to really understand what you're starting with and what your end goal is, and just being smart about planning for that. You know, we're pretty good with our horsepower ratings on our stuff, but there's always those cases where somebody tells you they're making 500 horsepower and then they're making 1100 a month later. So you know, you can't really plan for that.
But we tend to do that sometimes. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. But you know, but it's good to take that into consideration. So you're not spending your money.
It's called
twice,
superchargers, you know? And turbos and nitrous. let me ask you a question. How much does weight affect, or maybe it doesn't at all? How much, you know, does the weight of the vehicle, I'm an old school Mopar guy. I love those little B bodies, which tend to be, you know, fairly heavy, long wheelbase, all that type of fun stuff. Actually race a pretty nasty, you know, 68 Dodge Super B, which, you know, 117 inch wheelbase. That's a long wheelbase, you know? So when you look at a car like that, what are the things you look at, and is weight a consideration? Like, do you use a thinner, like smaller diameter drive shaft if it's a car that's a race car, you know, that weighs 2,800 pounds versus an old school, you know, badass muscle car that's got a roll cage in it, but boy's got some stink under the hood and he's pushing, you know, 1,200 horsepower too, driving it to Sonic on Fridays. And it weighs 4,300 pounds. Like, is there something that you look at when it comes to that, or is that pretty much the same formula too?
We always try to look at that, because that also carries into the loading on a drive shaft. You know, a 2,800 pound car is not going to put as much load on that drive shaft during a launch as a 4,300 pound car. So yeah, we absolutely keep those things into account. We have certain, like I said, we have certain, like, you know, guidelines, rule of thumb that we follow. You know, if it's over this length, we'll try to, you know, step up a diameter, or, you know, we run into weird stuff all the time with people in swaps. You know, we get a lot of people with old pickup trucks with new drivetrains and things like that, and they have clearance issues. And, you know, we have to be really careful with taking into account the weight, but also how fast they're planning on going with this thing, because that all that plays a role. You know, it's all those things together that really point us in the direction of what we can offer somebody, you know. But yeah, weight is a huge thing, you know, just like you mentioned those old cars. But it's not even just those old cars, it's all these new cars too, man. These, you know, just the other day a guy set a new record with a Charger Hellcat running our stuff. Car weighs 4,400 pounds, you know, and it's running, running eights. So that's a lot of shock load right there, you know?
Yeah, it is. So, yeah. Wow.
And tires got to be a huge factor. So if you're just a street car, you know, and you think about, you know, street tires go back from a bias ply, you know, some of these cars originally designed for, and now you got some super sticky street tires. And then you go to a drag slick, talk about the capability of, you know, running torque through a driveline. Mm-hmm. Huge factor difference there. So I imagine, you know, it's one of the first questions, are you going to drag launch this thing, especially if you're dumping it at 45 or 5,500 RPM or something,
right?
You know?
Right.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, if you're not, then you're not doing it right. Come on. Of course you're going to do that.
That's right.
All right. So the common things that people do wrong when it comes to drive shafts, you know, obviously, you know, things like, you know, if you're drag racing, maybe not running a drive shaft loop or drive shaft angles, those kind of things. What do people typically just not do right?
You know, it's, I think as far as people not doing right, I think, you know, we deal with a lot of people every day. And I would say that the number one thing that people get caught out on is they just don't do the research as far as what they should be doing with their setup. As far as, like you said, angles are important, but we have ways around them. You know, we've done lots of, we're pretty well known now for a lot of custom CV drive shafts from people with older cars that are putting newer drivetrains in and have bad angles because there's no way to position a motor and a transmission without hacking the car to pieces. So we've come up with solutions for a lot of those things. So it's you know, one of our slogans is we specialize in the impossible, because literally people come up to us with all kinds of crazy stuff and we usually can figure out some type of solution. But it's important that if you're building something to really take your time and do your research and figure out what it is that you're going to need before you, you know, before you get so deep into it that you need to back up.
Before you weld in all the critical pieces, do a little quick check.
Exactly.
Maybe call these guys up and say, this is what I'm doing. And then get out the big old fire stick and permanently affix everything in its location there. But yeah, it sounds cool though that you've got some solutions, because I know typically in drive shafts, you're trying to stay, you know, somewhere below at like 3 degrees-ish, maybe up to 4 degrees of, you join angles before you start getting into some problems, and then you can step into CVs. And so if, like you said, if you do have some of these swap issues or build issues, being able to kind of make some of these upgrades to fix some of these, you know, inherent problems is probably a huge relief for a lot of folks out there that got themselves into a jam, or, you know, want to do some things that, you know, they're going to be limited on what they're allowed to do just on space and packaging.
Absolutely. Or they just went and built some, you know, regular old drive shaft, and then they have a problem, and then they end up doing their research and coming to us for a good one. So that happens a lot too.
Right on.
So in other words, you could do it yourself and, you know, survive a few problems and eventually call these guys. Or you could just look them up or contact them. How do people do that? It's the Drive Shaft Shop, duh. So how do people find you, reach out to you, and get that call happening quicker, sooner than later, you know?
Yeah, just go to driveshaftshop.com. Simple as that. We've got a pretty extensive item listing on our website. We've got a couple of, we've got a whole custom drive shaft request page that shows you how to measure, and you can fill out a form and we can get you a quote on what it is that you need for your setup. Or give us a call. You know, we're here Monday through Friday. So we're here to answer your questions and give you some advice if you need it. And, you know, ask your friends about us. They probably know.
There you go. Ooh, ask your friends about us. They know, dude. I like it.
We've been in a lot of really cool projects lately. I don't know if you guys saw the new Mach-E 1400 with RTR. And
oh my God! Yeah, yeah, man. Oh
yeah, man. That was you guys.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's got four of our axles in it, and our buddy Joel Granis Racing. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he just set a couple months back the world stick shift H pattern stick shift record for a rear wheel drive car. Ran a 690 in a Supra, and running all of our full 9-inch kit and carbon shaft and all that. And yeah, we've been doing some really cool stuff lately.
Yeah, I'll say, man.
I told you, man, these guys are on it. They're everywhere.
That's right.
And they got you covered.
Well, hey, man, we definitely appreciate it, man. One more time, where do people find you socially?
DriveShaftShop.com, or look us up. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're everywhere that you can type in Drive Chef Shop, you'll probably find us.
There you go, man. Hey, and definitely check them out. And don't forget about our show. You can check it out on weekends on the Motor Shed Network. Check your local listings and throw a fit if they don't have it. Or you can get us on demand, Motor Shed On Demand. It's always an easy way to find us. Thanks to our guest, Lee, from the Drive Shaft Shop. And don't forget my man, Kevin Bird. Our producer is Scoop, and our executive producer is Bob Ecker.
And don't forget to check out our website, twoguysgarage.com. Share your thoughts with us. We're on social. We're everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Two Guys Garage. Now, Two Guys Garage Podcast is a copyright 2020 Britain Productions Incorporated. All rights reserved.
And if you didn't learn one thing today, I hope you retain this fact that M stands for Mega Badass Metal. Mega Badass Metal. Get you some.
Oh man, I thought I knew a little bit about shafts. You know, I've been living with shaft my whole life, but I got a little bit smarter today, man. Never ends.
Hey, I'm all about giving you the shaft. All right.
Right on. He gave it to us, man. He gave it to us.
He's got that on a t-shirt, bro. All right. We'll see you guys on the next Two Guys Garage Podcast. Take care. Two Guys Garage Podcast is a production of Britain Productions. For more episodes, visit iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.